This is Deirdre Fay from Safely Embodied, and I'm here today talking with Chaz DiCapua, who is a resident teacher at the Insight Meditation Society, which is one of the premier retreat centers teaching meditation in the West. And Chaz is the resident teacher there for all the people on staff, but he also teaches meditation all over. And I have known Chaz for years and am so happy he had some time to be with everybody and share some of his wisdom. And I asked him specifically if we could talk a little bit about equanimity, which is a practice that can help with reactivity and getting triggered, which is something that all of us know really well. So, Chaz, I leave it all up to you now.
Thanks, Deirdre. Often when I think when people first hear the word equanimity or consider what that actually is, what the experience of it is, there can be some mistaken ideas about it, that equanimity is some kind of state where we're floating kind of above our experience or slightly removed from our experience. We're kind of at peace and okay, and we're here, and that experience is kind of over there, and everything's just fine. And that is actually kind of a first cousin to equanimity. It's very close to it. In the meditation teachings, it's called the near enemy of equanimity, meaning it's kind of like it, but we mistake it. It's not quite the real thing. With equanimity, yes, there is a component of non-reactivity, and that is a very important component to it, but equanimity also, the other component to it is that it's completely connected. And that's the part that sometimes we miss or we don't think of when we think about being equanimous. Sometimes we can be equanimous, but maybe we're not exactly fully connected to our experience. So when there is difficult experience in our life, in the body, in the mind, emotions, of course, the natural tendency is to turn away. And, you know, as it should be on a certain level. We put our hand on the stove, it's hot, we pull it away, we move away from what's unpleasant, from what's painful and what's difficult. And on a certain level, that supports us and has supported us and has worked. And on another level, as we open to more and more of our life or want to, our inner and outer life, then that kind of biological response can get in the way. It can be restricting. It can inhibit our ability to open to more of our life. So in terms of meditation, and in terms which not just sitting on a cushion with one's legs crossed, with their eyes closed, but really being mindful and connecting with our lives, whether we're sitting with our legs crossed or talking to a friend, using the body as a way, as like a tether to keep us or help us be present is a very common thing. It's taught mindfulness of the body is really helpful and really important as we go through our life and trying to meditate, trying to be mindful, trying to be open to life. It's happening. So there are practices that we can do to help us be aware of our bodies. And it's very simple, yet most of us don't get trained in this way growing up. There might be this idea of, of course I have a body, and of course I'm aware of it. But when we actually take a look, we see just how often we're not aware of our bodies. So they're just simple things, mindfulness exercises to help us become aware of our bodies. Not in an intellectual way, but in a somatic way, so that the mindfulness is embodied. It's like knowing the body from the inside out. So I imagine you, if you're listening to this, you might be sitting down in a chair or on a couch somewhere. So you don't have to do anything special. You don't even have to move. There's no special posture that we need to know the body in. So just as you're sitting there, you can notice where any place that your body is touching something. So if your feet are on the ground, the bottoms of your feet touching the ground, feel yourself, the body pressing down on the cushion of the chair or the couch, or sometimes if the legs are crossed, where one leg is touching another, we call these touch points. Just bring your attention there and see what you notice physically. All of a sudden, pretty clearly, you notice something. It could be warmth, maybe, or like where the legs are touching. If they're crossed, there could be a sense of pressure. Heat. Places you might notice like tingling, vibration, pulsing. This is what we mean by being aware of the body in meditation practice and mindfulness practice. Not what we think about our body or our opinion of it, but the direct experience in the moment of what does it feel like? What can I actually feel? Again, we call it a somatic experience of the body. And the mindfulness is embodied, meaning it's feeling the physicality of the body. And whenever we're aware of our bodies in this way, we're in the present moment. Those two will always, always coincide. We'll never not be present when we're aware of our bodies. And when we're aware of them in this way, again, not intellectually or in the mind, but somatically. So this is a powerful exercise for cultivating presence and mindfulness, is learning how to and becoming more proficient at, and really just remembering, because a lot of this is remembering, as you could see in this experiment. It is not necessarily hard to feel the body. Now, just as a little aside, some people, when they first try this, they may not feel it for different reasons of just not being used to it, or for some people, depending on history, it could be trauma or strong emotions that are locked in the body. Sometimes it's very difficult to feel the body, and that may be good for good reason. If you don't feel the body right away, you know, don't worry. It can take time. And also, there are certain situations where, again, where there may be a lot of trauma in the past, where the body isn't the best resource. It actually may not be the best place to cultivate mindfulness. And then we would use other things. Sometimes we can turn our attention to hearing. The attention could be placed on something and we can practice mindfulness, but it's not focused on the body, which may, again, depending on past history of trauma, could be an unsafe place to put the attention. Wouldn't be the best place. So just to say that, that it's not the best place for everyone. And for many people, it can be an excellent mindfulness resource. Now, what working with the body is just tying it in with equanimity. So we're connected, okay? That's the connected part of equanimity, the connected half of it. So we're connected to our body. Now we can actually feel it. And as we meditate, as we become aware in the present moment, we can notice all sorts of things are happening in the mind, in the body, and the relationship between those two. As we live our lives, emotions come up, pleasant emotions, unpleasant emotions, thoughts come through the mind, fantasies, stories go on in the mind. And really interesting is to see all of these thoughts and stories and emotions have a corresponding effect in the body. It doesn't take 30 years of meditation practice to actually really start to see how direct this connection is between mind and body. So, as we start to inhabit our bodies, what we notice is, oh, I'm having thoughts. I notice I'm having thoughts about that argument I had with my boss. And then, oh, look at that. My stomach is tight. Or my shoulders are hunched up. Interesting. Now, once we know that connection, and we can then begin to start to work with, let's say in this case, the anger, yeah, that's arising, or by remembering how the boss kind of, you know, humiliated us in the staff meeting, or they're just berating us, you know, or whatever the situation was. Oh, there's anger arising as that memory comes up. And oh, look at that. That anger actually has a somatic component to it. The stomach is tight. The shoulders are tight. Well, you know, whatever it is that we might feel. And so then we see that connection, and this is really interesting, if we pay attention to this experience in the mind, the story, the remembering, he said this, she said this, whatever the situation was, it's very difficult to not get sucked in by that. That story, that memory of the boss, how they're behaving to us, it's just going to spin and spin and spin. It's going to promote more anger in the moment. That anger is going to fuel the thought. And we can, every one of us can attest to this, that we can get caught in these just stories that spin in our mind. And they're just not helpful. So being with that experience as it's manifesting in the mind, not so helpful. It's good to notice that it's there, but not to engage in it or get sucked into that kind of vortex. Now that we know the connection between the mind and the body, there's now an alternative. It's like we don't have to repress the anger, because that would not be helpful. But we don't want to indulge and get caught in it either. That would also not be helpful. Yeah, when we're spinning in those stories, we're caught in it, and it's not helpful. But we also don't want to just say, oh, this is bad, I shouldn't be thinking this, or shouldn't be having this memory, or I'm bad because I'm angry, I have to stop this somehow. That's also not helpful. So what's the ground in between those two? And this is where the body is supreme. We can know that anger as tight stomach. Not as the story and the visuals, say, in our, if we think in visuals in our mind, of the boss at the staff meeting. We let go of that, turn the attention to the body, which we've been practicing maybe, hopefully, in our life and cultivating. So we get really just very easily, oh, tight stomach, what does that feel like? Oh, well, there's pressure here, and then it's moving, and there's little pinpricks, and even feels like a little heat. And we be with that experience. Watch it change. Watch it eventually diffuse and dissolve. That is a great alternative to being caught in the mind. We're still with the anger. This is not repressing it. But we are allowing it to just live its life, just the birth and life and death of anger. Not a problem. Tight stomach is not a problem. It's just tight stomach. We can remove ourselves from the stories and the suffering when we get caught in them in our mind, and come home to the neutrality of the body. There's no story. Your stomach does not have the ability to tell a story. It's just tight sensations. Now, sometimes when emotions are very strong and we go to the body and feel them, it can feel a little bit overwhelming. Especially again, when if there's a long history of abuse or a lot of emotional abuse or just a lot of difficult material coming up, and we do this technique that I'm talking about. It's, okay, get out of the head, go into the body, and all of a sudden, there's let's say maybe in the chest, there's all these strong emotions that are like, I don't know if I can be with these. Okay, fine. We don't want to push it. We don't want to try to be with anything that's too difficult. So what's great, again, about the body is, okay, we don't have to be with these strong, maybe almost overwhelming of feelings in the chest. We can, say, put our attention to the bottoms of our feet, away from those strong emotions. Oh, okay. It's just connection with the feet on the floor, or tingling, or whatever we feel in the bottoms of the feet. No problem. And the sense of reactivity and maybe almost overwhelm that we felt when the attention was with the sensations in the chest can start to lessen. And we can just settle into use the natural calming effect of the body, hanging out with the sensations at the bottom of the feet and just allowing the nervous system, the emotions to just settle. To use that connection between our mindfulness and the body, away from the strong sensations, allow it to settle. Once it's settled, if we want to, we can maybe come back and say, where are those emotions doing now? How's the chest now? Oh, it's still pretty strong. Not quite as strong as before. Can I be with this? Yeah, I think I can. Okay, great. Then we do the same thing. Hang out there, allow the mindfulness just to hold and be with those sensations and allow them to calm, allow them to evolve as they will in time. Or we come back to the chest and, nope, still too much. Fine, no problem. Back to the bottoms of the feet. So the body is a wonderful resource to help work with thoughts and emotions that come up in our mind and work towards being with them with equanimity, meaning not be removed from them, be connected to them. When you're connected with tight stomach based on anger, you are being with the anger. Not running from it. It's actually you are being with it. You're just being with it somatically instead of as it spins in the mind. So we connect, the body helps us connect, but also the body helps us be non-reactive, the other important half of equanimity. These difficult emotions and stories, it's very, very difficult to be non-reactive with them as they manifest in the mind. Too seductive. That's why we go to movies. We go to movies to watch the movie on the screen. Why? To get sucked into it. It's like, oh, let's take this 2-hour trip, and what reality do we want to inhabit for this 2 hours? We want the romantic drama. Okay, we'll do that one. Now the next day, we want to do the adventure. Okay, we get sucked into that one. It's very easy to get sucked into the movie on the screen. Well, it's even easier to get sucked into the movie on the screen of the mind and lots of reactivity. But when we go to the body, it's much easier not to get sucked in and therefore not to be as reactive. Yes, there's anger, but we're not feeding it, and we can just know it as tight stomach. Be less reactive. So there's the connectivity. Yes, we're still with it, but we're with it in a way that where the reactivity can slowly dissolve and diminish. And this is how we use mindfulness of body to help work and develop equanimity with all sorts of things. In this case, I've been talking about emotions, strong emotions and difficult thought patterns. that come up for all of us, not just when meditators or when we're meditating. It happens all the time in life. And this gives us a great tool to both not run from them, but not indulge with them and get caught by them and be reactive to them one way or another, depending on our habit pattern of how we manifest reactivity. So the body helps us be less reactive yet still connect actually quite intimately to all the different stories and thoughts and emotions that arise all the time in our life. I think I'll stop there.
Beautiful. Thank you, Chad.
Is that something? Is that close to what you were looking for? Or,
yes,
or,
that was.
Yeah.
And good for people to hear your point of view and to hear your energy. And there was a question I had right there, somewhere in there. Now, where was it? I loved how you move. By moving throughout the body, moving away from the sharp point to the, like, the bottoms of the feet,
yeah,
to just refocus the mind,
yeah,
and shift. That was a
right.
great. I wanted to make sure people got that.
Yeah.
It's another way of shifting energy, so it's not overwhelming.
Right. Well, that's the titrating. Yeah, that's the titrating of the experience.
And
to keep
focusing the mind in a different direction, because the pull of those difficult emotions, like you said, are so seductive.
It's almost impossible to try to be with them as they manifest in the mind.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, got to find other ways. Well,
yep.
Chaz, I know you're busy, and thank you very much for taking the time to be with us.
Okay, absolutely. I hope it's helpful. I hope